Hi there, Jubilee Church. We are into our second online preach, and I am continuing the series called Staying in Touch with God. It's a three-part mini-series that we've been doing, three parts all about how we stay in touch with God. So last week, if you remember, we looked at staying in touch with God through his creation. And as Tim mentioned, we had lots of excellent online contributions and activities and thoughtful verses and all the rest of it. So that is tremendous. We will have another online challenge at the end of this preach for you to look forward to as well. So we looked at staying in touch with God through his creation. As you remember, we were looking at Psalm 19. A quick reminder, enjoying God's creation occurs in verses 1 to 6. Enjoying God's word occurs in verses 7 to 11. And engaging in self-reflection occurs in 12 to 14. So this week we are tackling enjoying God's word, verses 7 to 11. And so the link is David would have been familiar both with God's creation and, of course, with God's word, although it would have been the early part of the Old Testament that David would have been familiar with. He knew that as he enjoyed God's creation, there was only so much that he could get to know about God through his creation. There needed to be more specific detail. There needed to be more specific instruction. And so that's why he then turns to God's word as being a more direct means whereby God could communicate with his children. So in verses 7 to 11, we move on to this next stage in which we enjoy God. So if you remember, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 suggests that all scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness so that the man or woman or servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And as we remember that verse, that links nicely into verses 7 to 11 of Psalm 19, which I'm just going to read. Again, let me encourage you to just get your Bibles out or your phone apps or whatever you've got to hand and follow it through with me. These are just a few verses. We're not doing too many verses, just so we don't overload you with scripture. But I want us to have a look at these few verses together. And starting at verse 7 of 19, God's word says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at three of those verses today, and I'm just going to study them. But before I do, I just want to say a general thought about scripture. I get told a lot that I should exercise by various people who think that I should be very active during the season and that they encourage me to take full use of my hour of exercise. By doing that, that is healthy and good for the body. In a similar vein, I think, in the evangelical tradition, we have been encouraged to read God's word because it's good for the soul. And that is right and proper. But I think the danger is that as we do so, we come to see God's word as being a bit like vegetables. Okay, and I will explain what I mean by that. Here is my bowl of fine vegetables. Okay, and what I've got is I've got carrots that are good for the sight. I've got broccoli that is good for general health. I haven't got any spinach, but of course, spinach is reputedly good for making us strong. We've got all this array of vegetables that we have always been encouraged to eat because they make us healthy, even if we don't really like them. And so we're always told by our parents to eat our vegetables because they will make us healthy. And so what we do is we grit our teeth, we screw up our faces, and we eat the vegetables, possibly quickly first, because we're told that they make us healthy. Does that make sense? And I think the danger with God's word is we can almost be taught a similar thing, that you have to almost endure God's word in order to make you healthy. You have to sort of consume it as just something that you have to do to be a good Christian. And I think there's a danger in that analogy, because I think then we don't recognize that we can actually savor and enjoy God's word. So what I've got is a picture that I'm going to show you of a lovely steak. Now, I live in a family of vegetarians, amongst a family of vegetarians and vegans, and so I have to go out now and buy all the meat for myself. I am a card holder at James the Butcher's, and I've been known to go as far as Garson's Farm in order to get a fine steak. And indeed, that's what I did earlier in the week. I went to Garson's Farm, and I hate to say this, but I spent £10 on a beautiful steak. It was expensive, but it was beautiful. And I took the steak home. I had a little saucepan for one. I got a bit of garlic and just cooked up the steak, not just nice and rare like this. And then I remember taking it through to the lounge and eating it and savoring it and thinking, this is just the best steak that I have ever had. In fact, someone came into the lounge and interrupted me while I was eating the steak, and I told them to go away. I said, do not interrupt me while I'm eating this beautiful steak, because this steak is more important than you are right now. I'm sorry about that, but that's just the way it is. And what I was doing was I was savoring the steak. I was enjoying the steak, and it was just so good. And it's also good for me as well. I think steak can be quite good for you. And so the point that I'm trying to make is, why don't we try and treat God's word more like steak than we do like vegetables? Let's try and savor God's word. Now, there are times when life is grim and things are tough, and reading God's word is a hard thing to do, and we need to get through and do it. But there are also times when things are good and we can get into God's word and we can just really enjoy it and really savor it and delight in it. And so that's a sort of general statement that I just want to make before we get into the verses proper. And so we're going to talk about the key verses. I'm going to talk about three, just to make it really clear. The first of these is, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing or reviving the soul. The second is, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. And the third is, the precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. And also, commands are radiant, giving light to the eyes. So I'm going to combine those two together. So we have refreshing the soul, we have making wise the simple, and we have giving joy to the heart. They're my three classic preaching points. We're going to keep it nice and simple, stick to three preaching points, just so that we are clear. So we're going to start with reviving the soul, or refreshing the soul. There are going to be quite a few props in this sermon. I thought it'd be a good idea to have lots of visuals just to keep us interested. So I'm going to now introduce into the picture my friend Sean the sheep. Here is Sean, and he's looking good. He's a bit on the large size, like me. And the danger with large sheep is that they can actually fall over and turn on their back. So we've got Sean, who's toddling along, and Sean will then come to a hollow and look for a nice place to lie down, a nice comfy little hollow, and he'll get down there and he'll make himself comfortable. And then the danger is that as he's making himself comfortable in the hollow, he will roll over. He's missing a leg. He's a three-legged sheep, so I'm sorry about that. I'll just turn him round so that he's just looks like all the legs are there. And so this is known as a cast sheep. A cast sheep is a sheep that has turned over, fallen over, and is just lying there. And the thing about this fella, Sean, is sadly, he can't do anything about it. Once he is cast, he's in serious trouble. He's on his back, his legs are flailing, he's trying to roll back over, but if he hasn't got the angle right, he won't be able to do so. And so what is needed is for a shepherd to come along and turn him back over and perhaps massage his legs like this, massage each of the legs, get them back functioning so that Sean can be ready to carry on his way. And you're thinking, what is the point of this illustration? Well, do you remember, I think it's in Psalm 25, where David says, why is my soul cast down? Why have I been turned over? Why have I been flipped? Why have I allowed life to flip me? Why am I down? Why am I in trouble? And often in times when we have been cast or turned over, it is not enough to look to ourselves. It's not enough to give ourselves a talking to or try and encourage ourselves. What we need to do is we need to go to God's word and allow God through his word to uncast us, to actually revive us, to put us back on our feet and send us on our way. And so God's word can do that. There have been many times in my life when I have, and sometimes it's been accidental. Sometimes I don't know why the day is bad. There's nothing that's particularly happened in my life, but I've just got up and felt miserable, depressed, down. And God's word has revived me and set me up for the day. There are other times when there are clear factors. You've had a row with the missus, or your kid's been sort of arguing with you or whatever, and there's a reason why you're feeling down. And similarly, in circumstances like that, we can allow God's word to uncast us and to flip us back on our feet and send us on our way. So let us be like Sean in the sense of when we're cast, we turn to the shepherd to put us back on our feet. So the word of the Lord refreshes our souls. Secondly, the word of the Lord gives us wisdom, makes wise the simple, okay? And I want to talk about that for a little bit. I've got another picture. Here is my friend Homer Simpson. I am a fan of Homer's, as some will know, and I think one of the main things that I'm a fan about is Homer's honesty. Whenever Homer makes a mistake, he knows it. So whenever he gets into a fix, his favorite expression is duh, and he slaps his head like this. In fact, why don't you try it at home? What I want you to do is I want you to follow this after me, is to whack your head really hard and say duh, even where you're sitting right now. This is called audience participation. I think it's valuable to do this to keep us all engaged and whatever. So I'm going to go one, two, three, and then you're going to whack your head really hard and say duh. Okay, are we ready? One, two, three, duh. Okay. Now, why am I asking you to do this? I'll tell you why. Because I want you all to know that you are Homer Simpsons. Yeah? I want you all to know that, like me and Homer, we are all far more stupid than we think, okay? We are all far more stupid. Now, that may come as a shock to some, and you might find that difficult to grasp, but we are all pretty stupid, okay? And I think that is one of the most important things to realize as a motivation for reading God's word. Those who think they're wise, those who think they can handle life, those who think that they can sort themselves out, won't need God's word because they're intelligent, they're wise, they just don't need it. But if you know you're stupid, like Homer, then you will know that you need God's word in order to make you wise. Let me give you some examples. Do I know how to relate really well to my wife and yeah, have a great relationship? Sometimes yes, sometimes no, quite often no. Do I know how to bring up my kids really, really, really well? More often than not, no. Do I know in terms of being a good pastor to this church or being a good communicator? Very often, no. All these areas of complex life, we are stupid. I'm going to suggest that to us this morning or this evening or whenever you're listening to it. But I'm going to suggest that to us. And so what we then need to do is we need to go to God's word in order to make us wise. We need to recognize our stupidity, recognize our lack of wisdom, and know that in God's word we can find an answer to our inadequacy, whatever that might be. So let me encourage you to think, if there's an area in which you're struggling, an area in which you're not feeling capable, an area in which you feel you need wisdom, in which you need help, this is the first place to go in order to find a solution to that. I've said that quite forcibly, so I hope you forgive me for that. But I think it's really important to recognise even those who've been Christians for years and years and years, we need to recognise that we are stupid and we still need God's word and we still need his wisdom. So that was my second point. And my third and final point is this, that God's word gives joy to the heart and light to your eyes. So my question, my sort of launch illustration is, what brings joy to your heart right now? Well, I'll tell you what brings joy to my heart. Here is a picture of my gorgeous granddaughter, Evie, and a little photo of her. That's her nestling in the crook of my arm with a nice little smile on her face. I have to say that initially I don't think she was overly impressed by me. I think she was actually quite frightened. So I'd come in and I'd smile and I'd make a lot of noise and she would burst into tears and it was all a bit tricky. But as she got to know me and recognised me and all the rest of it, now whenever I see her, we both have a giant beam on our faces and we smile at each other and we laugh and we just have this little game of tickling and laughing and you can see that she feels comfortable in my arms. She feels comfortable engaging with me. And what I want to say is that as we spend time with our Heavenly Father, the more we spend time with him, the more we can feel comfortable and the more we can feel in touch with him. And one of the best ways of being in touch with our Heavenly Father, of enjoying him, is through allowing him to communicate to us through his word. And so as we read his word, it's not that we're engaged in an academic process. It's not that we're studying. It's not that we're looking at stuff. It's that we're engaging in a relationship of communication with our Heavenly Father. And so what the scripture says is that as we do this, we have joy in our hearts and we have a light in our eyes. We have a spring in our step, yeah, as we read God's word. And what sort of things do we read in God's word that can give us a light in our eyes and a spring in our step and a joy to our hearts? Well, the sorts of things that we read are about his grace and his mercy and his beautiful plan of salvation and him sending his son and our adoption into his family and our inheritance in Christ and our status in him and the gift of the Holy Spirit and the fact that we have eternity with him. The list goes on and on and on and on about the blessings that God gives us in order to bring joy to our heart and a light to our eyes. Much as Evie does whenever I see her. In fact, the other day, it was my day off, and I thought, what am I going to do with myself today? And I just got in the car, and I just drove down to Billingshurst. And as I was driving down, I rang Rachel and said, are you free? I didn't even know whether she was free. And I said, are you free so that we can spend a bit of time? And then I spent half an hour, I just had about half an hour down there before I turned around and came back again. And during that half an hour, there was opportunity to recharge those batteries. And similarly, as we spend time in God's word, spend time with our Father, we get a chance to recharge our batteries. Okay, here is my mobile phone, my iPhone. The battery seems to go down really quickly. And what I need to do on a regular basis is charge this thing up. I need to plug it in, the light goes on in the battery, and this thing charges its way back up. And if I don't charge it, I'm in trouble because this thing fails. And the same is true of us. If we don't charge ourselves with God's word, then the battery in our lives fails and we get into trouble. And I think today a lot of Christians have been what I would call running on empty. They've just gained enough charge to sort of just keep themselves going, just keep themselves ticking over. And my strong belief is that this period of self-isolation, this period of more time alone, gives us a real opportunity to plug into God's word and quite literally recharge our batteries, recharge our souls, recharge our spirits, recharge our spiritual energy levels, recharge our relationship with God. And I would really urge you to not waste this time in terms of other sort of stuff that's frittering and frivolous and whatever. Do you mean there are two activities that I could be doing? I could be watching Netflix, or I could be playing this little online card game, or I could be spending time in God's Word and just reading it and recharging my batteries. And my hope is that I can do that. And I would encourage you to think about that as well. Let's not be content with Christians who run on a flat battery. We're drawing to a close, and I'll be praying in a minute, but what I want to conclude is we are going to have an online activity. The online activity for this week is very exciting. What I want you to do is I want you to choose a favorite verse. And then what I want you to do is either A, bake a cake, and then use icing to inscribe your favorite verse onto the cake, and then photograph the cake and put it onto the family page. That's the first option. The second option is to take your favorite verse and creatively make it. Does that make sense? You may want to use mosaics. You may want to paint it. You may want to carve it. You may want to sew it. You may want to embroider it. And again, take that verse, photograph it, and post it on the family Facebook page. That's the second option. And the third is the most exciting option of all. Get your household to mime a verse and go through the whole thing and video it, and then post the video onto the Facebook page and ask people to guess the verse from the mimed video. Now, you have to be careful. You can't speak at all while you're doing this. So no language is allowed during the video. You have to mime it completely and then allow the rest of the church family to have the fun of guessing what the verse is. I thought of a verse and I mentioned it to Ruth and she said, there's absolutely no way I'm going to be involved in this. It just makes me look stupid. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to really strongly encourage her to look stupid and do the mime with me and post it on the Facebook page, hopefully on Sunday evening or Monday. But that remains to be seen because, as I said, Ruthie is not overly keen on that particular activity. But if you've got the courage to do it, then I would say do it, because it'll be a lot of fun and it'll be a great way of remembering the verse as well. So I think we're drawing to a close. I think it would be good to pray and just thank God for his word, and thank God and ask him that we can engage in it in these three different ways. So why don't we bow our heads? Let's just take a moment of quiet and say, Lord, we thank you for David as he wrote these scriptures. We thank you that in the first few verses he dealt with your creation and he dealt with appreciating your creation. Thank you for the enjoyment that we've had in looking at those few verses last week. We thank you in the middle verses, 7 to 11, he's looking at the importance of enjoying and appreciating your word. And Lord, my prayer is firstly that we will learn to really enjoy it and savor it and treat it like a steak and not like vegetables. That we will learn to meditate on your word, that we will look at your word. We'll learn to think, how does this apply to my life? How can I build it into my life? We'll get a real appreciation of your word. That's my first prayer. Lord, my second prayer is that during times of trouble, during times of difficulty, we will use your word to refresh our souls, to pick us up, to uncast us, to put us back on our feet. Lord, my next prayer is that, Lord, we would recognize our stupidity and we would use your word to make us wise, to make us know how to live our lives as we turn to your word for wonderful advice about the things we should be doing and the things we shouldn't be doing. And so, Lord, my prayer is that. And thirdly, of course, my prayer is that as we read your word, we would find great joy in our relationship with you. We would be encouraged. And Lord, as a result of that, we would have a spring in our steps, Lord. We would have a light in our eyes, Lord. We would have a joyful heart. And so, Lord, all of these things I pray. Lord, I pray that, Lord, this will be an opportunity for many, many of us to really spend good time in your word, reading good Christian authors, just recharging those spiritual batteries that we have been really far too used to allowing to run low or even on empty. And Lord, I pray that our battery levels will go up and up, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, and so on percent, Lord, as we do this, rather than always being around the dodgy red 5% mark. So, Lord, I do pray for that now. Lord, I just lift up your church to you. Lord, as Tim has reflected, Lord, we pray for Patsy and the family of Di as they mourn the loss of their mum, Lord, or grandmother, and Lord, as they prepare for her funeral. Lord, I do pray also that you would keep this church safe, Lord, and that you would keep everyone out of harm's way. Lord, also, we just lift the government to you that they'd make wise and good decisions. We lift our NHS to you, Lord, as they battle through looking after those who are sick. Lord, also, we pray that this church would be able to really play its part in terms of helping the vulnerable, the isolated, the lonely, and being an important hub for this community. So, Lord, I just pray for all of these things now in Jesus' precious name. Okay, God bless you. I look forward to Facebook being a buzz with lots of activity. Keep posting, keep doing pictures. It's really good. Participation is really important. And it's a lot of fun, and it's a great way that we can keep in touch. So God bless you all as you listen to this post. See you later.